No pun intended. Called several dragons from the upper seats.
More blood! More death!
Somebody bite somebody!
Are you trying to get us both killed?
The Icewing growled.
Shut up and let me kill you!
I'd rather not, Clay said, stumbling back another few steps. A flicker of movement caught his eye, and he glanced up into the sky. Starflight was nearly leaning all the way off his column, flailing his tail and bound wings frantically at Clay, trying to tell him something, but what? Something about ice wings, something they'd learned from the scrolls and lectures, something pretty important, judging from the way Starflight was freaking out. The Nightwing was pointing to his mouth. Fire? Clay looked at Fjord dubiously. He didn't think ice wings could breathe fire. Wouldn't they end up melting their palaces every time they used it? Then again, Fjord was definitely doing something with his mouth, and it wasn't smiling. Clay ducked and rolled out of the way just as a blast of what looked like sparkling smoke shot out of Fjord's mouth. A tiny bit of it brushed his wingtip, and Clay felt a horrible chill rattle through his whole body. Oh, right. Freezing death breath. That is important. Thanks, Starflight. Now he remembered the freezing streams of cold air that ice wings could shoot from their mouths. Of course, he couldn't remember anything about how to fight it. Fire would probably help, though. Clay inhaled, pulling the warmth up from his chest as Fjord's head snapped around toward him. The ice wing opened his mouth to breathe on Clay again, and Clay sent a blast of fire right between his teeth. Fjord jerked back and scrambled across the sand, batting at his mouth with his clamped wings. The flames had been swallowed instantly by the chill of his scales, but the ice wing looked even angrier than before.
Sorry, Clay said. Listen, do we have to fight? What'll happen to us if we...
Fjord interrupted by racing at him with his front talons outstretched. Clay had to shut up and dart out of the way, barely dodging the sharp claws. Fjord's long, whip-thin tail snaked around and whacked him across the face, so Clay was momentarily blinded. Instinctively, Clay threw his wings over his head and lashed out with his back talons. He felt one connect and heard Fjord roar with pain. As his sight cleared, he saw that he'd accidentally hit the scratch on Fjord's neck, which was bleeding again. Fjord fell back for a moment, touching his neck gingerly with his claws. His tail lashed, and his bound wings beat the air.
How am I going to get out of this? Clay thought. He couldn't feel a monster rising up inside him. Whatever had driven him to attack the other dragonettes at hatching was buried too deep. He didn't want to kill Fjord. He didn't want to kill anyone. He wondered if he should have let Tsunami fight instead. No. I'm the first hatched and the biggest. I couldn't let any of the others risk themselves when I could fight for them. He clawed at the sand and lowered his head to stare into Fjord's eyes. I have to kill him, don't I? There must be a part of me that can do that. He'd always hoped his monster wouldn't be necessary. Some part of him had always figured that the prophecy would somehow come true. The war would end, and all dragon killing could be avoided forever and ever, without him ever having to hurt another dragon. But it's too soon for the prophecy. Our fault for escaping early. Still, we had to save Glory.
Boo!
More dragons in the crowd shouted.
A sheep could have won this fight by now.
What are you doing? Thinking? Less thinking, more killing.
Claw him, claw him, claw him.
They sound just like Kestrel.
Clay couldn't tell if they were rooting for him or for Fjord, or whether they just wanted to see someone die. Fjord dropped to all fours and ran at Clay again, hissing with his tongue as if he were about to shoot more freezing air. Kestrel's shouted battle commands flashed through Clay's head. He dropped and rolled under Fjord as the ice wing flew at him. With a quick slash, Clay raked Fjord's underbelly, leaving a trail of blood through the softer scales. He flipped back upright and spun to face the other dragon again. Fjord shrieked, doubling over.
"Yay!" shouted the crowd.
"What is wrong with you?" Fjord yelled at Clay. "That's not how mudwings fight. I was trained in your techniques."
"Well, I wasn't," Clay said. "Sorry."
He wondered whether he fought like a skywing instead, the way Kestrel had always wanted. He had a feeling she would say no. He didn't fight like a skywing. He fought like a lame wildebeest. But at least it seemed to catch his opponent off guard. Clay dug his claws into the sand, watching Fjord clutch his bleeding belly. If he attacked now, he could surprise the other dragon and maybe even win. But he felt bad enough seeing the damage he'd inflicted. He couldn't imagine doing worse. Like what? Could he break Fjord's neck? He shuddered, remembering again the crack of Dune's neck snapping. That wasn't him, no matter what Kestrel or Peril said.
"All right, dragons!"
Queen Scarlet's voice cut through the rumble of the crowd, and everyone went still.
"Fjord and Clay, we don't have all day. Some of us have kingdoms to run. One of you kill the other one right now, or I'm coming down there to end you both myself."
Fjord snarled and dashed to Clay again. There was no time to think. Clay reared up and grabbed the extra horns around Fjord's head, shoving the Icewing snout aside before the freezing breath hit him. The cold air blasted toward the lowest row of seats, and several dragons clambered over each other to get away, yelping with alarm. Fjord's talons locked around Clay's chest, and they grappled across the sand. Clay's wings were pummeled by Fjord's, which were silvery and strangely tough. His talons were full, trying to keep Fjord's head pointing away from him. He couldn't fight back as Fjord clawed his shoulders. Bright pain zigzagged through Clay's scales.
"Time to die," Fjord growled.
He whipped his tail around to trip Clay's back legs, and the two dragons went down in a heap with Fjord on top. The Icewing wrapped his claws around Clay's neck and pressed hard.
"Failing again,"
Clay thought hopelessly, as the strength in his arms began to fade.
"For the last time."
In a moment, he'd have to let go. The Icewing's head would be free, and Fjord would blast Clay with a final killing breath. Then, it would all be over. Chapter 19. Clay closed his eyes. He couldn't bear to see the circle of prisoners up in the sky, knowing that Tsunami and Starflight were up there watching him die. He heard a faraway yell, and Fjord's head jerked up. Clay opened his eyes again and saw that the Icewing was looking up at the prisoners. So was everyone else in the stadium. He followed their gaze and saw a blue dragon far overhead, thrashing in the net of wires above the arena. The other prisoners were shouting and scrabbling to hold on to their rock towers as the weight of the dragon threatened to drag them all down.
It was Tsunami.
She must have thrown herself off her prison cell, trying to get to Clay. But the wires held her fast, and she was fighting like an insect caught in a spider web.
"Get up there!"
Queen Scarlet roared, and all the Skywing guards around her lifted off at once.
"This is my chance," Clay thought.
Fjord was distracted. Now he should kill him. He should. He had to. If he could have killed his nestmates and their eggs, he should be able to kill this dragon who had nothing to do with him. But he still couldn't. He kept thinking, "Fjord is as much a prisoner as I am. Why should I get to live instead of him?" This is why the prophecy is doomed. Because of me. So Clay was the only one looking at the ice dragon when a jet of small black droplets splattered against the side of Fjord's face and neck. Fjord flinched in surprise and automatically reached up with one talon to wipe his face clean. But before his claws reached his snout, both dragons heard a hissing noise. Clay stared in shock as the black drops started to bubble and smoke. The scales underneath them began to melt. Then Fjord screamed. It was the worst sound Clay had ever heard. The dragon Peril had killed had screamed in this kind of agony, but to be right underneath the dying dragon, his screams piercing Clay's ears, was so much worse. One of the drops had landed in Fjord's eye, and that was the first thing to disintegrate, leaving a smoking black cavity in his skull. The side of his face slowly dropped away like ice melting. Fjord lurched off Clay, clawing at his own neck. The spray was eating into his open wound. Clay covered his eyes, feeling sick. Why couldn't death be clean, painless, and fast, if it had to happen at all? It finally occurred to him to wonder who had sprayed the ice wing. It must have come from the direction of the queen's balcony. He looked up and saw only three faces up there, staring down at him and Fjord. The rest of the guards were up in the sky, dealing with Tsunami and the other prisoners. Queen Scarlet, who looked pleased, Glory, who looked asleep, and Peril, who looked frightened. After Fjord finally died, to the sounds of uproarious cheering, Clay was flown back to his tower and locked down again. He could see that extra chains and wires had been added to Tsunami's cell, and the prisoners on either side of her kept shouting angry things about how she'd nearly killed them. But she waved her tail at Clay, and he felt a tiny bit better, though not much. He hadn't won fairly. He hadn't found the strength in him to kill. He hadn't even wanted Fjord to die. Something, someone else, had killed Fjord for him. And yet there was a ball of wrenching guilt sitting in his stomach. Guilt about Fjord, about Dune, about Glory's weird drug state, about Sunny, wherever she was, about Starflight, who'd never survive the arena, and about Tsunami, who might, but only if she didn't get herself killed doing crazy things first. He couldn't eat the pig dropped off by the Skywing guard that afternoon. He just watched gloomily as it ran around his platform, squealing in terror, until it blundered over the edge. Then he felt bad about that, too. Feeling sorry for prey, some hero dragon you are. Clay kept his back to the arena during the afternoon fight, which was between a sea wing and a scavenger the queen had found in the woods. He thought queens would be more careful around scavengers after what happened to Oasis. But now that he saw how pathetic they were, he understood why Queen Scarlet didn't worry about them. The scavenger was allowed to keep his funny little weapons, but they didn't do him much good. The fight was over quickly. Clay covered his ears so he wouldn't have to listen to the munching and crunching and the cheering crowd. He slept a little that evening, but his sleep was full of nightmares and dying dragons. It was almost a relief to wake up after dark and find Peril huddled in the same spot as before. Even the heat wafting from her scales was welcome, as the winds were stronger and colder than ever.
"Oh, hi," she said in a rush. "You were amazing today, although I have no idea what you did. I was looking at the prisoners and then suddenly, well, yikes, that was scarier than me. I mean, I'm pretty scary, but wow, how did you do that? You don't have to tell me. I mean, you might have to do it to me. You probably will. Which is the scariest thing ever. It was like, I never thought what it might be like, sitting up here watching me kill other dragons, and then I'm the one watching and thinking, that's going to happen to me. So, but still, amazing! Can you tell me? You don't have to tell me.
Stop, Clay said, worn out with guilt and worrying. Peril, it wasn't me. I didn't do that to Fjord.
She exhaled, and a small burst of fire shot from her nose. It's all right, she said. I didn't think you'd tell me. I'd keep it secret, too. No, seriously, Clay said. I think it was Queen Scarlet. She wanted me to win. She must have done something while everyone else was distracted. Peril looked skeptical. I've never seen her do anything like that before, she said. But I guess she might. She definitely doesn't have a problem with cheating. She spread her talons, opening and closing her claws, as if offering herself as an example. I guess she might have found the poison in her treasury somewhere. Have you seen my friend Sunny? Clay asked. He was starting to feel the pain of the scratches across his back and the bruises on his throat. Oh, yes, Peril said. She looked at him sideways with sly blue flame eyes. That's why I came. I'll tell you where she is, but I need you to do something for me. And if you won't do it, I won't tell you. Clay tried to move his aching wings, but they felt stiff and sore. He could tell that dried blood was caked through his scales and the spiny ridge along his back. You don't have to do that, Peril. I'd help you anyway.
Sure, she said. Well, we'll see. It's not an easy thing, and you might get in trouble. I'd definitely get in trouble if Her Majesty found out.
She scratched the rock underneath her. I don't mind, Clay said. I'm in enough trouble anyway. Is Sunny all right? Peril scowled as she answered.
Yes, she's fine. Not a scratch on her. Eating like a queen. Making friends with all the guards. It's a little nauseating if you want to know the truth.
That's Sunny, Clay said, exhaling with relief. What do you want me to do?
She told me I wasn't allowed to watch, Peril burst out. I'm the only dragon in the whole Sky Kingdom who's supposed to stay away from the arena tomorrow. It's not fair.
Why? Clay asked, his stomach sinking. What new horrible battle did Queen Scarlet have planned? What's happening?
I don't even know, Peril flared. It's some kind of trial. Doesn't that sound boring? Why would she keep me away from that? I wouldn't have cared until she told me not to go. Listening to dragons talk about laws is about as exciting as picking sheep fluff out of your teeth. Plus, it always ends the same way anyhow. Queen Scarlet just likes the drama of trials and formal executions. Nobody's ever innocent.
Kestrel, Clay said. It must be Kestrel's trial. Queen Scarlet said something about that.
Well, whoever she is, I want to watch, Peril said stubbornly. So I thought maybe if I hid up here, behind you...
Clay glanced around. The Icewing to his left was asleep. The platform to his right was still empty. If he stood at the edge of his prison and spread his wings, and Peril crouched down, he might be able to shield her from the eyes of the queen. He tried opening his wings again and winced. The clamp bent the outside of his wing in as if it were rolled under and pinned up. But he still should have been able to open most of his wing, even if he couldn't fly with it. I'm too sore, he said to Peril. I mean, I'll try, but I can't really open my wings right now, so I don't know if I can hide you.
Peril frowned. Let me see, she said, pointing to his back imperiously.
He hunched around until his back was toward her. She drew in a sharp breath. That sounds bad, he said, trying to twist his neck around to see. It can't be that bad. Kestrel believes that pain teaches you stuff, so trust me, I've been clawed before.
Not by an Icewing, I bet, she said. They have ridged claws so they can grip the ice as they walk. It's like getting clawed 4 times with each claw instead of once. Can you picture that?
Sort of, Clay said. It feels better with you near it.
It does?
Like the heat, I mean, he said, embarrassed, although he wasn't sure why. It's better than the wind.
I don't know how to fix it, she said, sounding frustrated and helpless.
He felt her heat draw a little closer. I guess I could stand here, if that helps. Clay remembered the poison cave under the mountain and the stinging pain under his scales. He wondered if the same treatment would work here. There is one thing, he said hesitantly. If it's not asking too much, I think putting mud on the scratches might help.
Oh my gosh, of course, she cried. That's it. I can get you mud. Wait here.
She sprang off the tower and flew away.
Wait here? Clay echoed to empty space. Because I was going to go where? For a walk?
He pulled his wings in and tried to huddle against the wind, but it howled at him from every direction, and the tower was even colder now that peril was gone. The pain felt worse and worse as the moments ticked by and the moons rose higher in the sky. He was shivering badly by the time he saw her spiraling up toward him. Between her front talons, she was carrying a large rock cauldron filled with thick, brown mud. Clay twisted around to watch her as she landed behind him.
Where'd you get that? He asked.
Peril nodded at one of the distant walls of the Queen's Palace. Clay squinted and saw the reflected glint of moonlight off a cascading waterfall.
The Diamond Spray River starts at the bottom of that wall, Peril said. It leads all the way to the sea. At least, that's what I hear. I've never left the Sky Kingdom.
She stuck one of her claws into the cauldron. Clay watched curiously as the mud began bubbling and boiling. Why not? He asked. You must be one of the most powerful dragons here. Why don't you just come and go as you please?
Peril looked a little shocked. I would never disobey Her Majesty.
That's how my mother got killed. A theory suddenly popped into Clay's head. But before he could explore it, Peril kept talking.
Besides, I have to eat the black rocks every day or I'll die. The Queen makes sure there are always enough for me.
Black rocks? Clay asked, puzzled.
It's part of the curse of having too much fire, Peril said with a shrug. I'm lucky the Queen takes so much care to keep me alive.
Have you ever tried not eating them? Clay asked.
Once, when I was a lot younger, Peril said, shifting her talons awkwardly. I got mad at Her Majesty because she wouldn't tell me anything about my mother. I wanted to run away, so I stopped eating the rocks to see what would happen, and I got really sick, like almost dying sick.
Oh, Clay said. Her story had a feel of wrongness to it, like scales that didn't overlap properly. It seemed pretty convenient that the Queen just happened to have a way to control the most dangerous dragon in her kingdom. But he was hardly an expert on skywings with weird deadly conditions.
Is that also why you don't challenge her for the throne? Clay asked. Because I'm betting you could beat her in a fight.
Peril gave an outraged squawk and nearly hit him with her tail.
I don't want to be queen. What an awful thought. Stop saying treasonous things and turn around.
Clay presented his back to her, opening his wings as wide as he could. Some part of him expected her to plaster the hot mud on with her talons. But he realized she couldn't do that without burning him just before Peril flung the entire contents of the cauldron over his scales.
Yah!
Clay clamped his teeth down hard, forcing himself not to yell. The mud was as hot as Kestrel's fire breath, and at first he felt like all his scales were being burned off. Then the shock passed, and a moment later, the heat became bearable. Clay felt the mud soaking into his injuries, instantly soothing the pain. If only he'd had something like this after all his training sessions with Kestrel.
Much better, Peril said with satisfaction.
Clay rolled his shoulders. His muscles already felt looser and stronger.
Wow, does that work for all mudwings?
Of course, she said. How could you not know that?
What about other dragons? Clay asked, turning around to face her. He wondered if this was a trick he could use to heal his friends, if they were ever together and free again.
I don't think so, she said. I'm not sure anyone's tried, because that would be weird. Like, what kind of Skywing would let you put mud on her scales? Yuck.
It's the greatest feeling in the world, Clay said. Well, maybe after flying. And eating. Gosh, I'm hungry.
I'll just fetch and carry for you all night, shall I? Peril said.
Oh no, you don't have to.
But she was already gone. Clay sat down and tucked his tail around his talons, thinking. He had a pretty good idea why Peril wasn't supposed to watch the trial tomorrow. Queen Scarlet had said something about Kestrel disobeying her. Plus, there were those burn scars on Kestrel's talons. And it wasn't too hard to imagine Kestrel trying to kill her own dragonette. Especially once she figured out there was something wrong with her. Peril thought her mother was dead. How would she react when she found out it was Kestrel? And she was still alive.
Chapter 20 Peril brought him 3 rabbits and 2 more cauldrons of mud during the night. She stayed at the edge of the rock platform, but the heat from her scales helped keep the mud warm on Clay's back. It also kept the nightmares away. While he was talking to her, the weight of Clay's guilt felt lighter. Which was strange, he knew. Peril was responsible for a lot more death than he was. But it didn't bother her. He wished he could be so untroubled. If he had to fight in the arena again, perhaps he could take monster lessons from her. "Won't someone be looking for you?" he asked as the sun started rising over the distant sea. She shook her head.
"I'm supposed to be down in the caves looking for black rocks all day," she said. "As long as I stay up here, behind you, hopefully no one will notice me."
"Not even the guards?"
"They won't feed the prisoners until midday," she said. "The trial is set for dawn. Look, see?"
She edged a bit closer to him, peeking around his wing. Clay looked down and saw dragons filing into the arena seats. They seemed quieter, more subdued than they were for the fights. Skywing soldiers dragged 2 large boulders out onto the sand. One of them twisted 3 large iron rings into the ground in a triangle, then attached thick chains to them.
"Quick, spread your wings," Peril hissed. "Here she comes."
Clay flapped his wings open as Queen Scarlet slithered onto her balcony. He noticed she had traded her gold chain mail for a vest with small black chain links instead, studded with diamonds. She didn't even glance up at the prisoners, although Peril stayed carefully huddled behind Clay's back. Glory was not brought in. No art required at a trial, Clay guessed. Finally, Kestrel was hauled into the ring, hissing and spitting at the guards around her. A chain looped around her snout kept her from breathing fire at them. More heavy chains weighed down her talons and tail so she couldn't lash out.
"It's weird," Clay whispered to Peril. "I've always hated Kestrel, but it still makes me mad to see her like that." "How do you know her?" Peril asked.
"She's one of the 3 dragons who raised us under the mountain," Clay explained. "They didn't like us much, but they were supposed to keep us alive until the Talons of Peace came back to get us for the prophecy." He stopped, swallowing, as he thought of Dune and Webbs. Had he survived the underground river?
"At least you had someone. I guess even terrible parents are better than no parents," Peril said.
Clay glanced down at Queen Scarlet and wondered if that was true. She'd been the closest thing to a mother that Peril ever had. But what kind of mother made her daughter kill dragons in horrible ways every day? Maybe Peril would have been better off with no one. Dune and Webbs weren't all bad, but Clay wasn't sure he'd have chosen a life with Kestrel over growing up alone. Then again, if he was right, Kestrel was Peril's real mother. Would Kestrel have been better for her than Queen Scarlet? Not if she was prepared to throw her off the mountain. At least the Queen had kept Peril alive. He hoped that watching this trial wouldn't upset Peril. He wondered if he should warn her about Kestrel being her mother, but what if he was wrong? "I have real parents, though," he said instead. "Somewhere in the Mud Kingdom, there's a pair of dragons who can't wait to get me back. I'm going to find them one day." He couldn't see Peril's face, but her silence said a lot. She didn't think he was going to survive this place, or maybe she thought that if he did, it would be at the expense of her own life. Something he didn't want to think about. The Skywing, who did all the arena introductions, climbed onto one of the two boulders and spread his blood-red wings.
"That's Vermilion," Peril whispered. "Her Majesty's oldest son. He always argues for the prosecution." "Why does Scarlet bother with a trial at all?" Clay asked. "Only Skywings get trials," Peril said. "Her Majesty likes watching the performance of it, and she thinks it makes her seem like a just and fair ruler." Clay withheld his snort of disbelief. The crowd's murmuring died down as another Skywing climbed onto the other boulder. His scales were a more washed-out red, as if they'd been scrubbed with sandstone for a long time. He moved slowly, dragging his tail behind him like a carcass.
"And that's Osprey," Peril pointed out. "He argues for the defense. Not very well, or he'd lose his head. He's really old and almost blind. He's nice to me, though, because I'll listen to his stories of the old days. He told me he used to have tons of treasure, but a scavenger came to steal it and managed to paralyze his tail before Osprey ate him. So now he can't fly. And he gave all his treasure to Her Majesty so she'd let him live here."
"Tough bargain," Clay said. He felt a wave of heat as Peril rustled indignantly.
"Back in the way old days before the Scorching," she lectured, "before we had queens and armies, he would have just died. Scavengers killed a lot more dragons back then. But now, because of our queens, we rule the whole world, and dragons have help when they need it."
"You sound like Starflight," Clay said. "Will there be a test at the end of this lecture?"
"He wouldn't talk to me, by the way," she said. "Not even when I asked him to tell me the history of the Scorching, like you suggested. He just buried his nose under his wings and ignored me."
"Wow," Clay said, looking across at the slumped black dragon. "He must be really depressed."
Peril was quiet again. Clay wished he could call across to Starflight and tell him they'd find a way out of this. If he really yelled, Tsunami might be close enough to hear him. But he didn't think Starflight would. And besides, hollering escape plans across the arena probably wasn't the best idea. In any case, the trial was about to begin. Queen Scarlet beat her wings, and all the dragons turned their attention to her.
"Loyal subjects," she said. "This dragon, Kestrel, once of the Skywings, stands accused of the highest treason, disobeying me. Vermilion speaks for the prosecution."
"Your Majesty,"
Vermilion said, bowing and crossing his talons.
"The facts are clear. You gave an order. Kestrel disobeyed you and fled the kingdom. She has been living under your mountains for the last 7 years, aiding and abetting the Talons of Peace, who also refuse to follow your Majesty's orders. She deserves a long, painful execution. There is no need to drag this trial out."
The dragons in the seats made their hissing fire breath sounds and flapped their wings. Kestrel glared at the queen. Smoke seeped from her bound mouth and nostrils.
Well said,
the queen nodded to Vermilion.
Now, Osprey may speak for the defense, or not, if he'd prefer to sleep through this trial too.
The crowd laughed appreciatively. Osprey stretched his neck toward the queen, then toward Kestrel, as if he were trying to get close enough to see their faces from his boulder.
Your Majesty,
he said, in a voice creaky with age, but still loud enough to carry to the prisoners up above.
I do have one or two words to say in this prisoner's defense.
Queen Scarlet's tail lashed slowly behind her as she stared down at him.
Certainly, she said. That's what you're here to do. Go ahead.
Osprey cleared his throat, coughing out a black puff of smoke. All the dragons were leaning forward to listen. Clay could feel Peril's heat dangerously close to his scales as she tried to peek under his wings.
Consider first the charge of disobedience. Kestrel did not do as you ordered. But then, didn't you reverse the order after she was gone?
What? Clay could barely follow the old dragon. Was this not about Peril?
Osprey,
Queen Scarlet hissed. Speak plainly, or do not speak at all, and let me point out that one of those options would be much smarter than the other.
Forgive me, Your Majesty,
the old dragon said, straightening his wings.
I must speak. Kestrel was one of your most loyal soldiers. She was sent through the breeding program on your orders and brought forth one egg. Upon hatching, it turned out to hold twin dragonettes.
Behind Clay, Peril gasped, nearly loud enough for the dragons below to hear her. Clay flapped his wings, trying to cover the noise, but no one looked up. All eyes were on the trial.
We know all this, said Queen Scarlet, yawning. Skip ahead to the part where we execute her. The dragonettes were defective,
Osprey went on stubbornly.
One had too much fire. The other did not have enough. As per Skywing custom, you ordered Kestrel to kill them both and stay out of the breeding program for the rest of her life.
That doesn't make sense, Peril whispered behind Clay. He ducked his neck to look at her. She met his eyes, shaking with confusion.
I'm the only twin Skywing hatched in the past 10 years, but he can't be talking about me. My brother was dead when we hatched. I killed him. Then my mother tried to kill me, and Queen Scarlet stopped her.
Or maybe that's just what she told you, Clay whispered back. The queen rose to her full height and spread her wings so the sunlight caught on the rubies embedded around the edges.
Quite reasonable, she said. But Kestrel tried to escape,
Osprey pressed on.
She took her two dragonettes from the hatching cave and tried to flee with them down the mountain.
So you agree she disobeyed me, said Queen Scarlet. Then I think we're done here.
You caught her at the Diamond Spray River,
Osprey said.
And there you issued a new order. You told her you would forgive her disobedience on one condition. She must choose one of the dragonettes to die, and then you would spare the other's life, and Kestrel's own.
No,
Peril whispered.
Then she did obey you, didn't she?
Osprey said.
She killed the dragonette with too little fire,
right there at the river, with her own claws.
And then I changed my mind again, Queen Scarlet said. I am the queen. I can do that.
You told your guards, I know, for I was one of them, to kill the other dragonette and take Kestrel back for trial. She tried to grab her daughter and fly away, but the heat of the dragonette's scales burned her talons before she was a wingbeat into the sky, and she had to drop her. She fled, leaving her only living dragonette at your mercy.
There was a heartbeat of silence.
Sounds guilty to me, Queen Scarlet said cheerfully. We'll execute her tomorrow, and while we're at it, let's execute him too, for boring me.
She pointed at Osprey.
No!
Clay nearly fell off his tower as Peril exploded past him. He flapped his wings for balance as she shot toward the sands. His front right leg flailed free, and when he glanced down, he saw that Peril had accidentally burned through the wire as she flew away.
It can't be true, Peril cried,
landing on the sand beside Osprey.
Tell me it's not true.
Kestrel reared up with a muffled roar. From the look on her face, Clay could tell she'd thought Peril was dead this entire time.
Oh, yes,
Queen Scarlet said maliciously to Kestrel.
Didn't I mention she's still alive and working for me?
She turned her fierce yellow eyes on Peril.
You're not supposed to be here. You lied to me,
Peril shrieked.
You said she was dead.
Queen Scarlet sighed.
Look at the trouble you've caused,
she said to Osprey. Peril, dear, would you have wanted to know your mother was alive somewhere, raising other dragonettes and wishing she'd killed you instead of your brother? Peril hesitated.
She could have escaped with your brother, Scarlet pointed out.
You're the one who burned her when she tried to save you. She thought she chose wrong. That's why she didn't come back for you. Kestrel roared unintelligibly through the chains.
Haven't I kept you alive all these years? Scarlet went on. Finding you the black rocks, feeding you, making you my champion. Don't you appreciate all the things I've done for you? Aren't I a better mother than her anyway?
I want to stand for her, Peril said, almost too softly for Clay to hear. Smoke hissed from Scarlet's nose, billowing up around her horns.
What?
She said slowly.
I call upon the tradition of the champion's shield, Peril said. It says the queen's champion may stand forth for any dragon sentenced to execution. If I can defeat the next dragon you set me to fight, you must let her go free.
She looked into Kestrel's eyes for the first time.
I want to stand for my mother.
Chapter 21. Queen Scarlet's yellow eyes were small slits between orange scales.
Now where? She hissed. Did you hear about that particular law?
Peril shifted on her talons.
I read about it. I bet you did, Scarlet said. With claws that burn right through paper when you touch it.
Someone's been telling you things too big for little dragon ears.
No,
Peril said, too quickly.
Nobody...
The queen was airborne before Peril could choke out another word. Queen Scarlet snatched Osprey up in her talons and shot into the sky.
Stop!
Peril yelled.
It's not his fault!
She leaped into the air and beat her wings, chasing them. Clay watched the queen rise higher and higher above the arena. Osprey writhed in her claws, his tail hanging heavily below him. Scarlet had nearly reached the height of the wire net when suddenly she opened her talons and dropped the old dragon. He plummeted like a stone. Clay had never thought about how a dragon needs his tail for balance while flying. Osprey's wings were slow to extend, and when they did, he lurched horribly, dragged down by the useless weight of his tail. Peril darted at him, talons outstretched, but he twisted away from her and she stopped, helpless. If she caught him, the burns would kill him just as much as the fall would, perhaps even more painfully. Clay saw her claws reach out again anyway, but it was too late. Osprey flapped his wings in one last burst of energy, but he couldn't right himself. He hit the sand at an awkward angle. Every dragon in the arena heard the ripping and snapping of bones breaking and wings tearing as he tumbled. He collapsed near the arena wall. Peril landed beside him. Queen Scarlet fluttered delicately back onto her balcony perch.
I hope this has been a lesson to any other dragons who are thinking of teaching my champion bad habits, she said, glaring around the arena.
He's not dead,
Peril said, clawing at the sand.
He will be soon.
Queen Scarlet waved a dismissive claw.
Now, I won't argue with the champion's shield. The champion has asked to stand for the prisoner. I will choose her opponent, and they will battle at the end of the games tomorrow. If she wins, Kestrel goes free. If not, well, I'll have a dead champion. But at least we'll get to execute Kestrel right afterward. All in all, a wonderfully bloody day for me and Queen Bern to look forward to.
The cold wind whipped around Clay, piercing the wounds on his back and whistling through his scales. Bern was coming here tomorrow, and when she left, she'd be taking Sunny with her.
All right,
Peril said, staring down at Osprey's last dying spasms.
Tomorrow, then.
She reached for Osprey's talons and stopped, her claws hovering over his, agonizingly close, but not touching.
Of course we'll have to lock Kestrel back up, said Queen Scarlet. We wouldn't want her to try escaping again. You understand.
Fine.
Peril turned and looked at Kestrel. They faced each other as Vermilion dismissed the crowd, and dragons began to pour out of the arena, buzzing with excitement. When most of the crowd was gone, Kestrel pointed to the chains around her mouth. She wanted to talk to Peril.
No,
Peril said, as one of the guards stepped forward. She stared into Kestrel's eyes.
You killed my brother. You left me here. And it's your fault my friend is dead. I may not want you dead, but I don't want to know you.
She turned and left the arena. The guards dragged Kestrel away under Queen Scarlet's triumphant smile. Clay's head was spinning. He tried to catch Tsunami's eye, but she was storming around her platform, clawing angrily at the air. Across from him, Starflight was sitting up and looking at the sky. Clay tried to think. If Peril succeeded in freeing Kestrel, surely Kestrel would try to free the dragonettes as well. Maybe she'd go to the Talons of Peace for help. But by then, it might be too late, at least for some of them. Certainly for Sunny, who would be on her way to the Sandwing stronghold in Burn's clutches. And perhaps for Starflight, who would have to fight in the arena tomorrow. Maybe even for Tsunami and Clay himself, if they had to fight too. No, they couldn't wait for Kestrel. They had to escape before the games tomorrow. Clay wondered if Peril would help them now that she knew how the queen had betrayed her. He waited hopefully for her to come back, but the day wore on with no more activity in the arena below. The hot sun baked the mud on his back until it began crumbling away into dust, while the wind yanked at his tail and his wings like a dragonette playing with prey. And Peril never came. When the guard dropped off another pig at midday, Clay tried to ask him to take a message to Peril, but the guard snorted fire at him, scaring the pig right into Clay's talons, and flew away without responding. The only good news was he didn't notice the broken wire attached to Clay's front right talon. By the time the sun started drifting down over the western peaks, Clay was getting anxious. Was Peril all right? What if Queen Scarlet decided to get rid of her before she could fight for Kestrel? Heavy wing beats in the distance distracted him from his worries. He looked up as a score of sand wings appeared from the west, outlined by the red glow of the setting sun. The largest was in the lead, with the others fanned out in a V formation behind her. They swooped toward the queen's palace, staying in perfect lines, and vanished beyond a distant wall, where Clay guessed the landing field for visitors was. Bern was here. She was the biggest and meanest of the three rivals for the Sandwing throne. She held the Sandwing Palace stronghold. From what Clay could remember, she was the most likely to win the war, and the most likely to kill anyone who got in her way. Dune had warned them that she was the most dangerous dragon in Pyria, even meaner than Queen Scarlet. They knew the story of what she did to the Skywing egg before they all hatched. Scarlet was bad enough, but Bern was the worst possible dragon to get her claws on the Dragonettes of Destiny. It seemed like only a few moments had passed when Clay saw the lead dragon come winging back over the wall toward the arena. As she flew closer, he could see her muscles rippling in her back like wind over sand dunes. Her poisonous tail was coiled up above her, and her black eyes were staring straight at Clay. He found himself crouching lower as she swept overhead. Her neck whipped around to keep her eyes on him as she flew in a circle, around and around, just above him. He didn't know what to do. He couldn't read her expression at all. After a minute, she hissed at him with a forked black tongue. She darted away to circle over Tsunami's head, and then Starflight's. Even Tsunami seemed cowed by this silent inspection. All three dragonettes stayed still and watched her until Bern flew away again and disappeared into the palace. "We have to get out of here," Clay thought. "Now, tonight." He couldn't imagine what those dark eyes would see in Sunny. He had a horrible feeling Bern would collect the little Sandwing by killing, stuffing, and mounting her on the wall. But it was impossible. This was worse than their situation under the mountain. There, at least, they'd been together. Clay wasn't the clever thinker of the group. He couldn't come up with bright ideas and brilliant escape plans all by himself. He realized Peril hadn't kept her end of the bargain by telling him where Sunny was. So even if he could get down from his prison, he'd have no idea how to find Sunny in the vast Skywing Palace. Had Peril forgotten about him? Or was she angry for some reason? Clay paced, fretting, and the loose wire whacked at his other talons. He peered down at it. The sun was just a golden sliver against the mountains, and the moons were only starting to climb the sky, so he didn't have much light. He held up his free talon to the last of the sunlight. The wire had a curious clasp that held it in place around his leg, as long as it was mostly taut. But now that the wire was loose at one end, he could see how to slide it out by worrying it with one claw. The other end had once been attached to Horizon, the Sandwing prisoner Peril had killed. Now, it was clipped to a ring in the center of the empty rock platform, which was why no one else had noticed that it was swinging free. After a few moments of poking the clasp, Clay was able to work the wire off his leg. He was left with a stretch of wire about the length of his own tail. It was made of a hard, sinewy metal that gleamed silvery pink in the last rays of the sun, the same stuff in the bands on his wings. He could guess that it was fireproof, or other prisoners would have blazed through the wires long before him, which meant Peril's scales must be significantly hotter than regular fire to blaze through the wire so easily. Clay glanced around. Most of the prisoners were curled up to sleep for the night. It was only sunset, but there was not much else to do up on the rock columns. There were no guards in sight. There must be some kind of welcome banquet happening for Byrne. Hopefully all the Skywing soldiers would be there, feasting and laying bets on the gladiator fight scheduled for tomorrow. And hopefully, Peril would be in her room, the closest cave to the arena. If he could just get her attention, if he could only talk to her, maybe she'd find a way to save them. He wrapped one end of the wire around each of his front talons and tried sawing it across the wire that extended from his neck out into the web. He'd hoped it would slice through or something useful like that, but both wires looked undamaged when he stopped. But as he slid the wires across each other, an eerie note echoed across the arena, like the lone cry of a bird or the last hum of a harp string. That was kind of cool, Clay thought. He wondered if he could make different notes. He tried sliding the wire farther away from him, then closer to his neck, and then he tried the other three wires attached to his legs. The sounds were different, higher, lower, but still with that eerie, melancholy quality to them. Maybe Peril will hear this and come talk to me, Clay thought. But how would she know it wasn't just the wind or owls calling? A song. The only song he knew was the one Tsunami sometimes sang to annoy the guardians, about the dragonettes coming to save the day. Still, maybe that'll tell her it's me calling. He tried the wires again until he found the notes he wanted. It was fully dark now, with only a distant glimmer of moonlight creeping up the mountains. He couldn't see the prisoners across the arena from him at all, but he hoped Starflight and Tsunami would be listening. Clay concentrated, sliding the wires in order. Oh, the dragonettes are coming. He paused. It was too slow. When Tsunami sang it, the song was fast and fierce, so you could imagine a hall full of dragons roaring it at top volume. But Clay couldn't get between the wires quickly enough to get the notes right and keep that tempo. He tried again. They're coming to save the day. The notes echoed around the arena, soft and mournful. How would Peril ever recognize it? It sounded like ghosts of ancient dragons whispering from under the sands. Maybe if he kept practicing. They're coming to fight, for they know what's right. The dragonettes. Clay stopped. The last hooray would sound particularly ridiculous as an ancient ghost whisper. This was hopeless. Oh, the dragonettes are coming. Clay leaned forward. Was that an echo coming back to him? But he could clearly hear words in it. They're coming to save the day. He swiveled his head to the left. That was definitely a voice, a second voice. And neither one was Tsunami because these dragons could actually sing. They're coming to fight, for they know what's right, the dragonettes. Now there were at least six voices, all as soft and haunting as the notes from the wires. They slowly faded out, leaving off the last hooray, just as Clay had done. The prisoners were singing. Clay set his wires together and began to play again. This time, one voice after another joined in. As the arena began to fill with moonlight, Clay saw the prisoner to his left, the Ice Wing, with her silvery head stretched toward the sky, singing. He picked up the pace a little the fourth time around, although the notes still had that eerie, plaintive sound. Even if this didn't get Peril's attention, the singing filled him with a wild, hopeful feeling. It seemed like every prisoner in the sky was singing now. He was pretty sure he could even hear Tsunami's croaky voice and Starflight's pure tenor. This song meant something, even to dragons hardened on the battlefield and in the arena. They believed in the dragonettes and the prophecy. For the first time, Clay's dreams of doing something big and legendary and helpful seemed like they belonged to this world instead of his imagination. They were on their sixth time through the song, all of them singing wholeheartedly, when a blast of fire shot through the arena doors below and Queen Scarlet stormed onto the sand with Burn right behind her.
"Stop that infernal noise right now!"
Burn roared. The singing broke off at once. Clay quickly hid the wire in a fold of his wing, although he didn't think the queens could see the prisoners very well up in the dark.
"You!"
Queen Scarlet growled, pointing at Tsunami.
"And you!"
She pointed at Starflight.
"And, well, probably not you, but get down here anyway!"
She snarled at Clay. Skywing soldiers spilled out of the tunnel and soared up to the three dragonettes. Clay realized they were about to discover his missing wire. He lunged away from the two who'd come to get him, flapping and whacking their heads with his wings.
"Here, stop it or we'll drop you!"
one of them snarled.
"But he's a..."
the other one started.
"Shh!"
said the first.
"You heard the queen, we don't call them that."
It was enough. In the confusion and the dark, they each thought the other had unclipped that leg, and they flew him down to the sand without catching their mistake. Tsunami and Starflight both gave Clay concerned looks, and he realized he must still have a fair amount of blood and mud crusted to his scales.
"Bring them this way!"
Queen Scarlet snapped, stomping into the tunnel with Burn. Clay reached out and brushed wings with Tsunami as they were shoved along. Whatever happened next, at least he was with his friends now. Chapter 22. They stopped at Peril's cave. Peril was resting her head on one of the narrow window ledges, staring out at the sky. She turned and gave Queen Scarlet a cold look. Clay noticed that the full-length portrait of the queen was gone from the wall. A pile of ashes smoldered on the floor under the spot where it had been. He saw the queen's eyes dart to the empty wall, and more smoke curled from her nose.
"Out!"
she said to Peril.
"This is my room,"
Peril snapped back.
"I'm the queen here," Scarlet said. "You do as I say. Go sleep in the arena. If anyone else tries to sing, fly up and burn out his tongue."
Peril's tail lashed furiously. A moment passed, and then she stormed toward the door. The two queens had to scurry out of her path in a very undignified way, and Clay saw a few of the Skywing guards hiding smiles. The wave of Peril's heat swept over them, and she hurried off down the tunnel, barely glancing at Clay as she went by. He stared after her, worried. "Maybe she is mad at me, but why?"
"In here,"
Queen Scarlet said, shoving Starflight into Peril's cave herself. He stumbled trying to jump over the pool of water and ended up with his back leg splashing around for a moment. Tsunami shook her guards away and hopped over the pool, and then Clay followed.
"You will not interrupt my feast again,"
Queen Scarlet hissed.
"I'm sure you're very amused with yourselves."
"Why don't you kill them?"
Burn asked. She was much bigger than Scarlet. Her head scraped the top of the tunnel, and her talons were twice the size of Clay's. She wore no precious jewels or chainmail, but her claws and teeth were stained red from all the blood she had shed, and a vicious scar was burned along her left side below the wing. There was no white to her eyes at all. They were orbs of pure, menacing black.
"Because that wouldn't be fun," Queen Scarlet answered. "I want to see them fight. We have a whole day of entertainment planned for tomorrow. It's my hatching day. I want it to be thrilling."
Clay was starting to hate the word thrilling. Burn gave the Skywing guards a glare, and they quickly shuffled up the tunnel, out of earshot. She lowered her voice so only Scarlet and the Dragonettes could hear her. "But if they are the Dragonettes of the Prophecy, then the best way to break the prophecy is to kill them."
"Well," Scarlet said. Her tongue flicked in and out of her mouth as she regarded Starflight.
Clay could tell she still wanted to see a Nightwing in combat.
"Perhaps, but that didn't work so well for you, did it? Everyone knows about the Skywing Egg. All the Skywing Eggs, in fact."
Clay's ears pricked. What did that mean? Burn's tail thumped the floor hard enough to shake the ground below Clay's feet.
"On the contrary, that worked perfectly. They don't have a Skywing, do they? Only 4 Dragonettes. The prophecy is already incomplete."
Clay and Tsunami exchanged glances. She didn't tell Burn that Glory is one of us. She wants to keep her new work of art for herself.
"And yet our ignorant subjects are always yowling about the Dragonettes who are going to save the world," Scarlet said. "They believe in it, no matter what they've heard about broken eggs. If we kill the Dragonettes now, out of sight, it does us no good. Even if we hang their bodies from the palace walls, no one will believe it's them."
Burn bared her teeth in a snarl.
"The world doesn't need a prophecy. It needs me as Queen of the Sandwings."
"But listen," Scarlet said smoothly. "If we put the Dragonettes in the arena, everyone can watch them die. They'll see how weak they really are. They'll lose all their faith in the Dragonettes and, more important, in the prophecy. It'll all be over. Much more powerful than just making them disappear."
The Skywing Queen cast a sly look at her guest.
"Don't you agree?"
"And what if they win?" Burn demanded.
"They won't," Scarlet said. "But of course, killing them ourselves is a solid backup plan."
"Excuse me," Tsunami interrupted. "You know we're right over here, right? Don't you want to hatch your evil plan somewhere more secretive?"
Clay thought the combined force of the Queen's glares would knock her over, but Tsunami just glared back. Scarlet opened a pouch slung under her wing and scattered several round black rocks across the mouth of Peril's Cave, on the tunnel side of the pool of water. She opened her mouth and breathed on them, and the rocks all burst into flames. In moments, the Dragonettes were trapped by a wall of fire.
"Sleep well, so you'll be thrilling in the arena," Queen Scarlet said. "I thought I'd get to play with you for longer, but I guess you all have to be dead by sunset tomorrow." She sighed. "Nobody lets me have any fun."
Clay listened to the heavy thump of the Queen's talons fading away up the tunnel. He turned to look at his friends just as Tsunami cannoned into him.
"Ow!"
he yelped, but he didn't fight her off as she twined her tail with his and wrapped her wings around him.
"I'm so glad you're alive," she said. "You incredibly huge idiot."
"So am I,"
Clay said, "but I'm more glad you two are alive." He reached out a wing and drew Starflight into their hug. The Nightwing rested his head for a moment on Clay's shoulder, and Clay felt worried all over again about what would happen to Starflight in the arena.
"We need to figure out how to get out of here," he said.
"First, we're cleaning you up," Tsunami said,
stepping back and shooing Starflight out of the way.
Into the water! Go!
That's not important, Clay said. I feel...
Tsunami pushed him into the pool. Clay surfaced, coughing and sputtering. The pool was almost as deep as he was tall. He could stand on the bottom and hold his head above the surface if he kept his neck extended. The water was cold, but with the black rock fire so close, it was slowly heating up.
See? Tsunami said. Much better.
She leaned over the edge and rubbed the scales on his back, cleaning off the dirt and blood. Clay decided it wasn't worth arguing with her.
That was pretty smart,
Starflight said to Tsunami.
With the song? I have no idea how you managed to pull a melody out of your ear after being completely tone deaf your whole life.
She blinked at him.
I didn't do that. I thought you did.
It was me, Clay admitted. He drew out the wire and slid it across the floor. Starflight picked it up and peered at it.
How did you break that? Tsunami said.
Clay really liked the tone of awe in her voice. He wished he could say he'd done something clever.
I had help, he admitted. That dragon who was just here? Peril. Her touch can burn through it. She did that by accident.
Starflight reached up and fingered the bands on his wings, looking thoughtful.
That dragon is psychotic, Tsunami said. Didn't you see her decimate that sandwing? And she's Kestrel's daughter, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah, Starflight said. No wonder Kestrel always hated us. I bet the Talons of Peace thought she'd want to be on Dragonette minding duty after what she'd lost, but we just reminded her of her dead children every day.
Clay shivered. He hadn't thought of it like that.
Peril's not completely crazy, he said. She's kind of nice when she's not killing someone. She brought me mud for my back, and she said she found Sunny.
Starflight's head shot up.
Where?
Can she get to her? Tsunami demanded. Can she set her free?
I don't know if Peril will help us, Clay said, rolling his shoulders in the water. I haven't talked to her since the trial. I'm afraid she's mad at me.
I'm not mad at you.
Peril stuck her head through the wall of fire and looked down at Clay in the pool. Tsunami jumped back with a hiss of alarm. Starflight crouched and froze, watching Peril with large eyes.
Oh, good,
Clay said to Peril. He wondered how much of their conversation she had overheard. Would she help them, even if she'd heard Tsunami calling her names? She certainly wasn't giving Tsunami the friendliest look.
Where have you been?
I didn't want to put you in danger, Peril blurted.
She flapped her wings and the fire whooshed higher around her.
Come inside, Clay said. It's weird talking to someone on fire.
He ducked his head underwater, and Peril hopped over the pool into the cave. Tsunami and Starflight both backed up to the windows, staying as far away from Peril as they could. Clay climbed out of the pool and spread his wings so Peril's heat could dry them off. She coiled her tail in close to her and dipped her head at him, ignoring the other two.
I was afraid the queen would hurt you like she hurt Osprey, Peril said miserably. I shouldn't even be talking to you. If she finds out I like you, she'll do something awful to you just to punish me.
Tsunami gave Clay a sharp look. He didn't understand.
Can you help us escape?
He asked Peril hopefully.
I wish, she said. That would make her madder than anything. But I can't get you through that fire.
She flicked her tail at the wall of flames.
Could we use the water to put it out?
Starflight asked. He flinched as Peril turned to look at him.
No, those rocks have to burn down to embers. They can't be put out any other way.
What about Sunny? Clay asked. Is there anything you can do to free her? We have to rescue her before Burn takes her away.
Peril's blue flame eyes narrowed.
You talk about this Sunny a lot. Is she really that important?
Yes,
all three dragonettes answered at once. Peril's tail twitched. Clay had no idea why she looked so displeased.
Peril, Tsunami interjected. Listen, Sunny is like a little sister to us. To all of us.
Starflight looked down at his talons.
Think about your brother, Tsunami went on. Wouldn't you have saved him if you could?
Peril's expression shifted, and she nodded.
A sister? Yes, I understand. All right, I'll help.
Where is she? Starflight asked. Is she all right?
She's in a kind of birdcage, Peril said, hung over the feasting hall. Everyone will be celebrating out there all night tonight, but tomorrow, while they're watching the arena, I can sneak in and get her.
Oh, thank you!
Clay nearly twined his tail around hers, but he remembered at the last second not to touch her.
What about Clay and Starflight? Tsunami asked. I can survive the arena, but they can't.
I can survive the arena too, Clay said. Hello, I already have.
And how did you do that exactly? Tsunami asked. I happen to know you don't have secret venom in your claws.
I know what to do,
Starflight cried, jumping to his feet.
In the arena?
Tsunami said skeptically.
No, right now, he said. I know how we can get out of here.
Chapter 23 Starflight pointed to the flames rising from the black rocks.
Peril, the fire doesn't hurt you, right?
She shrugged.
It tickles a little, that's all.
And the fire is coming from the rocks. What if you picked up the rocks and moved them? You could put the fire somewhere else and open the doorway for us, couldn't you?
Clay's heart was beating fast. Peril tilted her head at Starflight.
He is smart, she said.
Just like you said.
I guess I could do that.
She sounded like she wasn't entirely convinced.
If you're really sure you want to escape tonight.
Of course we are,
Tsunami said, springing to her feet.
Let's get out of here.
But Sunny,
Starflight said.
We hide somewhere and wait until Peril can free her tomorrow, Tsunami said.
And Glory, Clay said. We have to save Glory too.
Glory?
Peril's brow creased in a frown.
The Rain Wing, Queen Scarlet's new artwork,
Clay said.
Oh, Peril said. Her. She's very beautiful.
She narrowed her eyes at Clay, which confused him.
Let's run away now and worry about that later, Tsunami said. Is there somewhere we can hide?
Peril snapped her wings open.
Below the waterfall, there's a cave only I know about.
She turned, nearly smacking Clay with her tail, and hopped over the pool into the fire. Clay watched in amazement as she wrapped her claws around two of the black rocks and picked them up. She stepped into the tunnel, and the fire from the rocks went with her, blazing around her talons. Carefully, she piled the fire on the rock floor outside until there was a gap big enough for the dragonettes to jump through. Tsunami went first, and then Clay, and then Starflight. When they were all out in the tunnel, Peril rebuilt the wall of fire across the cave entrance.
There, she said with satisfaction. Now she'll have no idea how you got out.
Can you get these off our wings?
Starflight whispered, pointing to the bindings. Peril gave him a hard look.
Maybe, she said. But maybe I'll wait until I know you won't leave without saying goodbye.
We wouldn't leave without our friends,
Clay promised. She scowled.
Which way to the waterfall? Tsunami asked.
Peril nodded up the tunnel and slithered off, leading the way.
Stop making her mad,
Tsunami hissed in Clay's ear as they followed.
Me? He said, genuinely surprised. What did I do?
Well, you're a handsome idiot, she said affectionately. And I'll tell you later.
Which didn't clear things up at all.
Shortly before they reached the central hall of balconies, the tunnel turned left and began to rise. Peril signaled for them all to move quietly, and they crept toward the sound of dragons shouting, singing, and smashing things. Peril glanced over her shoulder at Clay, who was concentrating on moving his talons carefully over the rocky, gold-laced floor.
Hey, she whispered. Once you're free, what are you going to do?
We'll go find our parents, Clay whispered back. I've never been to the Mudwing Kingdom. I can't wait.
Really? Peril said. You'll go straight there? Just the five of you?
Absolutely. As soon as
Clay started, and then Tsunami trod heavily on his tail. He squelched a yelp of pain and made a face at her. When he looked up again, Peril had hurried ahead. Clay guessed they had climbed two levels, circling behind the balconies, when they reached an open doorway as tall as five dragons and just as wide. They hid around a corner of the tunnel and peeked out. The doorway led out onto a flat, half-circle plateau between the cliffs, packed with skywings and sandwings, and lit by floating globes full of fire. Most of the skywings were wearing gold or copper or precious jewels that sparkled in the firelight. The sandwing desert dragons looked rough and common next to them, and many of them stood awkwardly, as if they would rather be charging into battle than making polite conversation at a party. Statues of Queen Scarlet in different regal poses were scattered about the floor, some carved from marble, some of gold, others of smooth black rock with rubies for eyes. Tables around the outside were piled high with food, and several kinds of prey were also running frantically between the dragon's claws. A low rock barrier kept the prey from escaping into the tunnel, and all around the plateau were steep cliffs going either up or down, so they were trapped. Clay saw a skywing pause mid-conversation, smash her talons down on a mountain goat, pop it in her mouth, and continue chatting with the sandwing opposite her. He also spotted a couple of scavengers among the prey. Instead of running around like terrified chickens, one was trying to climb the cliff. The other was crawling under one of the tables to hide. It made him wonder if scavengers were smarter than they looked. Now that he could see the feast was out in the open air, he realized how the dragons out here had heard the prisoners singing. He'd been wondering how the sound had carried down the long tunnels, but from here, the arena was only a short dragon hop across a couple of cliffs. Queen Scarlet lay on a tall golden throne, looking down at the other dragons. Another, shorter throne was set up next to her for Burn, although Burn's enormous height brought their heads to almost the same level. Burn kept shifting and scowling, as if the fancy curved seat was uncomfortable. Starflight grabbed Clay's shoulder and pointed at a large birdcage hanging over the center of the space. It was held aloft by wires, like the ones on the prisoner's legs, strung between tall poles on either side of the plateau. Occasionally, a dragon or two would fly up and circle the cage, peering in, and then fly back down to the floor. Crouched inside the cage, with her wings over her head, was Sunny. Her golden scales glowed dully in the firelight, as if she were just another piece of treasure.
Stop, Tsunami whispered, as Clay started forward. I know. I want to go get her too.
But if we do it right now, it's suicide, Starflight agreed. Better to let them think we'd leave without her. If they know we care about her, they'll use it against us.
His tail lashed in frustration.
But she's all alone, Clay whispered. If only she knew they were there, not too far away.
He stretched a little farther out, looking for Glory, but he couldn't see her. Perhaps Scarlet was hiding her from Burn.
You guys cross first, Peril said. Crouch low and run, and hopefully they won't spot us. She sent Tsunami darting across first, and the others followed one at a time. Clay found himself wishing he had darker scales that could melt into the shadow like starflights. They huddled around the next bend, waiting for Peril.
Sorry,
she said, when she caught up a few moments later. I had to wait for the Queen to look away.
From here, the tunnel branched in several directions. Peril took the one leading down under the cliff where the feast was. The torches were spaced farther apart as they went along,